pace with the latest trots news. Welcome to Gate Speed.
Yes, time for Gate Speed on this Monday afternoon, and there is so much to discuss after the weekend's action, and now we are only 6 days out from the Victoria Cup on Saturday night, and the voice of harness racing in this state, Dan Malecki, joins us on Big V Racing. Good afternoon to you, Danny.
Yeah, thank you very much, Matt. It's lovely to join you.
There is plenty to take out off the back of the weekend. We had heats of the Victoria Derby and also the Oaks, and a very interesting group to smoke 'em up sprint as well. A lot to digest.
Yeah, indeed it was. Look, it was a fabulous night to be there. Had drama of all sorts. And it continued even after the races. The Victoria Cup picture, I'm not sure if it became any clearer. Bondi Lockdown we've lost along the way. He bled and is automatically out for 3 months. Copy That had a lower grade bleed, but all was seemingly okay with him. Does that put a little bit of a question mark on him in the lead up to the Victoria Cup this week? Who's going to get into the field? Catch a Wave didn't qualify for the Derby, but was nominated as a precaution to get into the Victoria Cup. And sure enough, Andy Gath is pushing for him to get a start. He's a two-time Group 1 winner. And you could see what it would add as a three-year-old into the Victoria Cup, a race that's often considered to be like the Cox Plate of the harness. And what does the Cox Plate have nearly every year that adds that little bit of spice to it? A three-year-old. Yeah. So I think Catch a Wave can get into the field, but that field will be decided throughout the course of the afternoon. They'll be deliberating now at Harness Racing Victoria. The barrier draws a little later on today and early this evening. So the race shape is just as hard to work out. $4 the favourite, Expensive Ego, who won but wasn't overly impressive 2 weeks ago in Sydney. But the real highlight for the night, I think, guys, is seeing Captain Ravishing and Leap to Fame go at it again, and all the horses from the other heat of the Derby. Captain Ravishing, look, it's hard to come up with the right adjectives for him. He is just something else, and where he could get to boggles my mind, and I think everyone else that's been able to watch him in his three starts this preparation.
Dan, I was looking at him, and he looks to me like a great big gawky, awkward schoolboy. And a couple of times down the back straight, you'd see the ears going up and back and up and back. And I thought, he's almost looking around, oh, Mum, look, what's that over there? Oh, what's that?
Yep.
And I thought, when this horse learns to concentrate and really put it all together, how good's he going to be?
Well, I liken him to a Usain Bolt. Remember that period when Usain Bolt was that much better than everyone else? He was lifting his head up. He wasn't even running in the correct style that he would have been taught to run in. And he was knocking off, you know, metres from the finishing line in hundreds and 200 metres Olympic finals. And it reminds me of that. And when he gets it all together, as I say, it's frightening to think what he could be able to do. And you just want to be there when the penny drops, if indeed it ever does, because if it doesn't, we've still got the most exciting horse in harness racing right now, Captain Ravishing.
Yeah, we're hoping to have a chat to Emma Stewart about him as well. We haven't been able to get a hold of her as yet, so if it's we might even try again on the other side of Ballarat in a couple of minutes' time, because not just Captain Ravishing, their stable at the moment has so many good horses, especially young horses, Dan, of interest. The Lost Storm, we saw him in action last week at Bendigo. And if you look at the heats for the Oaks and the Derby, she had about three runners finishing in the top five of just about every heat. So it's an extraordinary stranglehold that she has over harness racing right now in those age groups.
Mm. Well, she'll have six runners in the Oaks final. Strangely or oddly, she didn't win. Emma didn't prepare any of the winners of the three heats, but I'm certain Encipher would be the favourite for the final. Potential ladies in red. We got the Make Mine Cullen this week. You mentioned the Storm Inside. It's a magnificent stable, and dare I say it, with ladies in red in the camp there. But her position of number one from that stable is under threat, if indeed it hasn't been overtaken with Captain Ravishing. That's how good he is.
Captain Ravishing, Dan, when they came into the straight with a lap to go, on the point of the turn, for one moment there, it almost looked like he half skipped. And I thought, is this bloke going to break or not? And again, the greenness, just the, I suppose, the immaturity in him.
Yeah, it's incredible. And it's not just Grant. He's running incredibly fast times. He did the same thing when he recorded the fastest final quarter ever of 25 seconds, and he was doing the same thing. He looked like you when you were younger coming out of a nightclub at 3 o'clock in the morning. Actually, that might go for both of you. But he was fast. He was still like lightning, and you could pick him to the pieces. And he did a similar thing the other night. The way he raced up and hit the lead at the 300, it was like he was going to win by 15. And credit to the runner-up. The runner-up is a top horse. It has won two derbies, the New South Wales and Queensland Derby. So we're talking the absolute A-graders and potentially, or what was going into that race series, at least two of the top three seats, Catchaway being the other one. And he must have hung in three or four times running 26 seconds for the quarters. It's just amazing to think he can do that. And remember, he sat without cover. It was a slowly run race than the first eight, but it didn't seem to bother him. He's got a beautiful cadence. When they went out of the straight there, Sean, it did remind me of a horse that wanted to go back to the stables. It was almost like he was going to make a right-hand turn. Just one of those little things that you can detect every now and then. I'm not sure if that was the case or not. He might have just been waving to the strapper or something, I don't know, but he looks like a pretty cocky individual, doesn't he? But by golly, he's good. He's the most exciting horse again, it's hard to put a time frame on it, but I'm not sure I've seen anything like him at that stage of his career ever. And look, he needs to start winning Group 1s before we start putting in that rarefied air. And a similar thing happened with Ride High, although he had won a Group 1 race. But I see Captain Ravishing at this stage as either better or more exciting than Ride High, which I never thought I would say so quickly.
Dan, if we can get Emma on, I'd love to find out with gear, if she's sort of tampering or, you know, tinkering around with gear at the moment, because when he raced in New South Wales, he had like the winkers on outside, or the cups outside his eyes. Saturday night he had an open bridle on. And it was almost for to give him a chance to look around and see horses coming or whatever, I don't know. It's just interesting that there's been the gear change.
Yeah, look, even I made the mention about that, but I'm probably erring on the side of no, because he still gets the job done, still gets those really fast times. He's both tough and fast, and you probably wouldn't want to tinker with too much leading up to a Victoria Derby final. But at the same time, you're looking at things that could, if he went straight, I think most people watching would think he would have won by 15 metres. And again, that's scary.
So if we have a look at the market for the Derby on Saturday night, he's the $1.45 favourite now, Captain Ravishing. That barrier draw will be conducted tonight at 7 p.m. on Trot's Vision. So obviously barrier draws for the Victoria Cup, the Derby, and also the Oaks. Leap to Fame, the Queenslander who was runner-up in that heat, he's at $3.80. And then you're looking at $9 because, as it stands, Catch a Wave isn't even in that field after his disappointment over the weekend. So $1.45, Dan, it's short, but he should just be winning, shouldn't he?
Well, Matt Stewart said to me on the Saturday show between 10 and 12, when I mentioned Cap the Ravishing, how good he is, how freakish he's going to be. And when I told him the price, he said, well, that's just a gift, isn't it? $1.50. If he is that good, $1.50 is overs. And he made a really good point. I think it was a fairly easy watch at the $1.50 in the heat. And I would say, similarly, for the final at that price. But that's pre-barrier draw, as you pointed out, Matt. So he could draw barrier 8 and he might get $1.70. He could draw 13, but remember, he won from barrier 12 the other night.
All right, they've got to go. Look, we haven't been able to get a hold of Emma Stewart on Gate Speed this afternoon, but that's all right. We've got all week to get onto Emma, because we do want to have a chat about Captain Ravishing ahead of the Derby on Saturday night. Just switching focus to the Victoria Cup, Dan. And if you look at the market here, it's fascinating because it's wide open. Expensive Ego is the $4 favourite. Then you're out to $7 for Better Eclipse, Rock and Roll Do, even Copy That's at $8 with a question mark over him, obviously, after that minor bleed over the weekend. And Honolulu Bay is also around that mark. So have you seen a more open Victoria Cup in recent times than this one?
No, not at all. You're looking at 12 horses at 20 to 1 or under with a favourite of $4. So it is as open as I can recall, and has been in the lead-up. It's not as if a horse that was going to run in it has gone lame or something's happened to them. It's been $5, $6, $7 favoritism all the way through in the last couple of months. So you can get good odds about good horses. But now, probably the talking point is there's a couple of spots I would imagine that are up for grabs that will be disputed. Four spots of the final 12 in the makeup, including the three-year-old Catch a Wave, and where he could draw. If he drew the front line, he'd have a far better chance. In fact, he would have the gate speed. If he drew the front line, he would lead. I don't think it would matter who else had drawn the front line. Catch a Wave would lead, drawn the front line. I'd love to see him in there because he, you know, regardless of whether you think he can win or not, or what you would do if you trained him, but he adds a further excitement to the race. And I think the race needs that this year. It's one element that the Victoria Cup, they've never had a three-year-old in it before, guys. It just doesn't happen, and it won't happen, you would think, going forward, because the Derby final's on the same night. This is like finding a little nugget of gold in your backyard. So to have a three-year-old in, I think it's what the Victoria Cup needs, and I would have him in there. And if he led, if he drew the front line and led, well, you can work out yourself whether you think he's going to be a winning chance or not.
Mm. Well, you just answered my question, Dan. I was going to say, what sort of record the three-year-old's gotten, and he's the first, by the looks of it, who may run it.
Yeah, as I said, often it's talked about as being the Cox Plate of harness racing, and it usually gets a fantastic field. It's got a new date in October. It's only about the fourth year that they've made the date October. It's been shifted around from February, March to December, and it's found a good date. It's a wonderful race program, and I guess the one thing you'd love to have in there at this time of the year is a three-year-old. It wouldn't happen too often. I remember choking as a three-year-old running in a Miracle Mile and getting an invitation. That would have been in November, but as the season's changed a few years ago, Catch a Wave is actually close to turning four. He's not a young horse. He's experienced. He's only been beaten a few times. He adds a lot to that race.
So what's the argument against him getting a start, Dan? Because obviously there is deliberations on as we speak around who actually will get into the field. And we'll know tonight because the barrier draw is at 7 o'clock. What's the argument against throwing him in there?
Well, I guess there are other horses. There's a rating system that can often be used as a guide to getting horses in. And, of course, he's a three-year-old. So he's been rated from a three-year-old as opposed to the other horses going through whether Grand Circuit races or open class races, if you like. And I guess he comes from left field. And that's not to say it might be simple and he has got his spot in the race. But I think there's a few people looking at it that maybe he shouldn't be in there because he wasn't expected to be in there and is going to take the spot of an older horse that has got either Group 1 wins or placings next to their name. But I see it differently. I look upon it as an exciting element to a big race. And this year, particularly this year, the race needs it. The race needs to have a three-year-old. If you want to call it a Victoria Cup, the Victoria Cup is the Cox Plate of harness racing, you've got to be allowing three-year-olds their chance to run in it because it won't happen often. In fact, you would have said it wouldn't happen at all with the Victoria Derby final on the same night. So let's make it happen at least this year.
Dan, Emma Stewart had a floatload of fillies there for the Oaks. Was there much between them when you looked at the end of the night between her top ones? For my thoughts, it didn't seem to be too much between the top few.
No, probably the first two heats were run at slow tempos. You didn't really get much of a guide. The only one that had genuine speed was the last heat, of which her filly Soho Historia, who won the Queensland Oaks, was just pipped. It was a good run, can improve off that. But I think in Cypher, who was beaten in a three-way photo finish, she ran third in the first heat. Her run was excellent. And depending on the barrier draw, she probably would be I would say in Cypher's her number one seat, but it's all barrier draw dependent. And the same for Just Hope, who I thought was terrific after being just headed with about 50 metres to go. She fought back to win, but it was run at a very moderate tempo those first two heats. Depending on those barrier draws, we might get a more genuine tempo and it'll bring a few others into the mix. But I would think in Cypher, definitely, and Soho Historia are Emma Stewart's main two and perhaps Petty Aunt. But another filly that was terrific in the third heat was called Miss Shanti. She got held up and she rattled home, trained by Ellen Bartley. So there's one at odds. If she drew well, I think she's got a winning chance as well. Not trained by Emma, of course, but she'll be really good at the back end of a strong 2,760 metres.
Yeah, well, she's $26 to win the Oaks and $6 the place. And if you compare that to in Cypher, she's the $2.60 favourite with the tab. So they're keeping her nice and safe ahead of the Oaks on Saturday night. Just the Group 2 smoking up sprint, Danny. It was the first ever group victory for Torrid Saint, which surprised me.
It is. He's been around for a while, and he's been knocking on the door for quite some time. He won a free-for-all beating Lochinvar Art just a matter of weeks back. So he's been right up there in the mix last year, Victoria Cup, Kilmore Cup. He's been in a couple of times, and he's been running really well. But he finally got to take some big scalps this time around, and he's deserved his place in getting into the final field. He's in the makeup of all of those free-for-alls right through the course of the last 12 or 14 months. And when you're a last up winner a week before the big dance, I think you've got to get a run. He deserves to, and he'd be a chance if he drew well.
Dan, finally, a horse to follow from Saturday night.
Well, Michon T might be one of those. Mm-hmm. The horse I just mentioned that's qualified for the Oaks, particularly at the price you've just brought up there, Matt, $26 and what was it, $6 the place? I'd be entertaining that because as long as she gets a genuine tempo, she'll be finishing it off for sure. Better be the bomb whether he gets into the Vic Cup field or not, but I reckon he's flying. If he ends up in what could be the consolation, I'd be having something on Better Be the Bomb or at least be following him. I think he's going as well as ever. And keep in mind too, guys, we're talking about Victoria Cup, Victoria Oaks and the Victoria Derby, three huge races. Bill Collins Sprint Group 1 as well, but also Ladies in Red will be back to run in the Makemine Cullen, the Group 3 race for the mares. And with the storm inside, I think it's going to be the best race night that we've got anywhere in Australia this year. So if there's one or two nights of the year you like to get involved with the best horses, doesn't matter, you know, really what code it is, this is the night to do so. You might see not just one really special horse, you might see a few of them.
Oh, that is exciting. Mm. Hey, Danny, we're going to have to race off to Kilmore here for the opening event there, but already looking forward to catching up with you on Thursday for Greenlight On as we preview that massive night on Saturday at Melton.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And as you said before, the barrier draws tonight for all of the big races on Trot's Vision. Thanks, guys.
Good on you there.